Welcome back to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, Eastern Utah's home for the Utah Jazz.
Back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Sutherland Studios. Let's talk some NBA basketball. We do this every Monday as we try to get back on a normal schedule. Everyone, of course, hopefully getting back on track from that Thanksgiving holiday. I'll tell you, yesterday was an intriguing day, to say the least, if you talk NBA basketball, and we'll go over what happened last night, specifically in the Milwaukee-Portland game. I want to talk about the Bucks. We'll talk about some of the other storylines floating around the NBA. Joining us as he does each week, we have James Holis over the phone right now. James, great to get you back on today. Hopefully you had a great holiday weekend.
Yeah, I just woke up this morning for the first time since Thanksgiving night, right? The food coma. I was down and slept for about 72 hours. So, yeah, I'm ready to roll. Good weekend of basketball. Still don't understand the tournament, but let's roll.
Yeah, and we can get into the tournament a little bit later. In fact, we'll end with that. We'll end this segment with some tournament talk. I do want to focus on what the Milwaukee Bucks put together last night, because it is the biggest comeback of the season up to this point. They trailed by 26 at one time. We saw what this team is capable of. Now, I know that you could look at this and say, at any point in time, should this Bucks team be trailing by 26 to Portland? And the answer to that is obviously no. I want to focus on what was more impressive, the fact that they went on a 58-21 run. They outscored Portland by 32 points. Incredible when you look at what Dame was able to put together along with Giannis, 17-15. They are down 81-55 with 9:08 remaining in the game. It was in the third quarter, rather. Excuse me. It was rather incredible. And James, what I see here is what this team is capable of doing. That's what I take from it. More so than the 26 point deficit and how they managed to overcome it, we see what they're capable of.
So, Chris Rock had a skit, and basically about people who get credit for doing what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. If a guy says, I take care of my kids, and he's like, you know, you're supposed to take care of your kids. I'll give you a cookie? So this is one of those darn if you do, darn if you don't things. They lost this game. We would have berated the hell out of them, right, the Bucks. They won it, and I think they won by six or eight. But some people say, like, a game is never won or lost in the last few minutes. It's what you do throughout the game. So, sure, that sounds great. 55-21, whatever. That sounds amazing. But you were down 26. And this is one of the worst teams in the NBA.
Yep.
And a team with no center. And it took, like, a Herculean effort to come back and win by single digits. You know, if you won, you're supposed to win. And if you lost, you got ridiculed. So you won. I can't really give them a pat on the back.
But going back to what I said, you see what they're capable of, right? That's what I take from it.
I guess, but I mean, you're also, you know, you have to fight hard and have Dame and Giannis play big minutes to beat the Washington Wizards. Like, sure, you know? Same thing like when they played the Celtics the last week, Boston got up by 21, and good on them for fighting back to within a one possession game, but they lost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm really concerned about the perimeter defense. There was one play when Malcolm Brogdon literally just did, you know, left dribbling with his left hand. He just did a little hang dribble, and he just exploded right down the middle of the lane and got a 3-foot flip shot. And there was four defenders just standing around him. Their perimeter defense is horrid. Their interior defense isn't always great, even though, you know, we know that Brook Lopez can, you know, defensive player of the year kind of guy, and so is Giannis. But somehow, team to just waltz into the rim. So, sure, their ceiling is still very high with Dame and Giannis. That's how it's going to be. But until they really kind of put it together, it's going to be hard to, you know, I say they're further behind than I thought they'd be by now.
That's fair. And we also have to remember there was no Chris Middleton. But I am starting to get concerned about Chris Middleton here. So he sits out yesterday with tendonitis in the Achilles. If you take a look at the minutes played, I think he's averaging like 19 minutes a game in the 13 games that we've seen him this year. That is a cause for concern for me, right? When you take a look at the way this roster is constructed, if you're a top-heavy roster, an injury to someone like Chris Middleton could be devastating.
Yes, and it's funny because, you know, we always kind of look at players and think, okay, he was injured, he'll be back to where he was. Chris Middleton is not a young spring chicken.
Nope.
he's had, you know, some pretty, like, not like a extensive injury history, like not like a Klay Thompson, but this is like, yeah, your legs start to go, you start having issues, and he's already limited, kind of, he was never a great athlete. 20 minutes a game is nothing. We're like, you know, we're less than, what, 15 games in the season. You're already sitting him with sore as a kid. That's very troubling. That's very troubling. They've been using him very sparingly. He hasn't looked like himself yet. And, yeah, if he's having soreness and stuff, you know, it's not great. Because outside of him, Jay Crowder, I think, is out now for extended period. They have some really young guys in the perimeter who aren't proven and are still kind of learning their way in the NBA. They don't have a lot of perimeter length or athleticism or, you know, it's their defense definitely has taken a major hit besides just Drew Holiday over the last year.
Again, James Hollis, our guest right now as we talk NBA basketball right now, focusing on the Eastern Conference. James, we're nearing that 20-game mark. And right now, the hottest team of the NBA is the Orlando Magic. They're sitting at 12-5, seven-game winning streak. When you take a look at the roster, I mean, there's not a ton that's going to stand out to you. If you're a Fringe fan, outside of Paolo Banchero, I don't know if you would look at anyone on this roster and say, yep, tuning in to watch this guy. However, there is so much parity to this roster and the ways that they can beat you. Are you believing in the Orlando Magic now that we're at the 17-game mark for this team?
I'm just about getting there. They've been the thorn in the Celtics' side for the last couple of years, and they always play them tough. Mo Wagner has a vendetta against the Celtics. I think they signed him for like a training camp deal and didn't keep him, and he terrorizes the Celtics every time he sees them. Franz Wagner is the real deal. That center they have filling in for Wendell Carter is I can't remember. He has Gogots. I need to look up his name. Sorry, Magic fans out there. He's actually a very effective player. They have young, athletic, speedy, tough guards. They really, you know, even without Markelle Fultz, they're playing defense. I think they're a top 10 offense and defense right now. I know they're like a top, I think might be the best defense in the league. They play hard. You know, they make mistakes. I think their floor is still pretty low. And who knows? I think last year the Jazz kind of came out this way too, right? They start the season kind of red hot.
They did. They did, yes.
So 20-25 games is when you really start really evaluating, but all signs are indicating really good for the Magic right now.
Yeah, because, I mean, if we look across the Eastern Conference, I mean, we both had concerns about the Cleveland Cavaliers. Look, they're playing 500 basketball right through 17 games. I think the Magic, and I'm using Cleveland kind of as a reference point, I think the Magic were a wild card going into this year. They were kind of a sexy young pick. Nobody expects this team to be a top five team in the Eastern Conference. I do expect them to be at least an upper echelon play-in team, and I think right now they've exceeded those expectations. That was my thought on Orlando going into the season. I couldn't have predicted 12-5, but I thought this is a team that could hover around the 8-7 mark.
Absolutely. I definitely thought they'd be a fringe play-in team, maybe, you know, fighting for that sixth seed or something, which is respectable. They look like they've taken a pretty big leap. And that's the thing, shot-making, right? That's a big thing that knows with them. They make some really tough shots, and that's going to be one of those things that kind of goes up and down all season. And if their success is predicated on that, we're going to see a low. Well, we're going to see a low. They're definitely... You hold them up against a team like Chicago, and it's just telling how the rebuild's going.
Let's move over to the Western Conference. We'll talk about a team that, to me, they are performing the way I anticipated them performing, and that's the San Antonio Spurs. Yes, we had all the hype around Victor Wembanyama. You and I haven't spent a whole lot of time talking about Wemby. He's played great in 17 games, averaging 19 points, I believe 10 boards. He's right around a double-double, averaging close to 3 blocks a game. Wemby's been good. Problem is, no one else on this team is any good. That's the problem.
Yeah, well, you basically nailed the heart of it. But a guy like, I think, Keldon Johnson and Devin Vassell, they're good players.
Maybe Zach Collins. I do like Zach Collins.
But the problem is you have ill-fitting parts, probably not enough shooting, and if Johnson is your third or fourth best player, and then Vassell is your fourth or fifth best player, you're in good standing. The fact that they're your second and third, how you want to put them, besides Wembanyama players, that's where it becomes an issue. And again, a young team that's still trying to learn their way around the NBA. They don't know how to get him the ball where he needs it. They think too maybe individualistically sometimes. But so there's talent there. It just hasn't meshed yet. And even him, look, Kevin Durant, as amazing as he is now, I guess people forget that the Sonics were in the lottery the next season, and they got Russell Westbrook, right? So, like, he's going to be great. He's going to be a franchise-type all-time guy. It just takes time. It takes time. And, you know, we see flashes. They won a couple games early, and now they stink, and they're probably going to stink this year.
Yeah, if we're talking about San Antonio, I've got to get your perspective on the Greg Popovich thing over the weekend where he walks over to the scores table. For those who missed it, Spurs fans, rightfully so, they're letting Kawhi hear it. He walks over to the scores table, grabs microphone, tells Spurs fans to stop booing and show some class. What were your thoughts to that?
I think that as forward-thinking and as great of a Pop, no, there's no but about it. So Pop, in his own way, is trying to protect a guy that won a championship. You know, he helped them win a championship. And he's shaking his fist at the clouds. He's having an old man moment. If it was anyone else besides Pop, I think I'd have more to say about it. But I think Pop is one of one. I think we all know that he stands kind of for the things you want a coach to stand for. Hey, booing is part of the sport. And I guess that's what's so funny about it. Booing is part of the sport. It's part of what makes it fun. It's part of you've got your home team. You're going for the other, you know, you're booing against the other team. So I think he was misguided. But because he's Pop, I stand behind him.
You know, it's funny. If you can't get behind, if you can't get behind your fan base for razzing a player, remember the Kawhi divorce in San Antonio, James? It wasn't smooth. It wasn't Dame Lillard, right, where both teams had respect. Well, I can't even use Dame because I guess that kind of turned ugly too. It wasn't a mutual part. It wasn't mutually parting. Like, there was hard feelings on both sides, right? So I think it's very, and this isn't the first time it happened. That's what's so weird. Like, it's not the first time Kawhi's played in front of the San Antonio crowd, is it?
No, it's not. And, you know, again, look, again, Pop is just Pop, and he probably, maybe 7 times out of 10, he wouldn't say a word. He was just, you know, we know he's kind of moody. He's tempestuous a little bit, a little cantankerous. So, as a fan, I have no problem. They're booing him at the free throw line. That's what they're supposed to do, try to distract the guy. So it's weird. It's a little, I've never heard of a coach doing anything like that, you know? I'm going to chalk that up to Pop just being Pop.
The only thing I can remember, and I don't know if you remember this, it was years and years ago, it was when Larry Brown was in Philly, and the Philly fans were throwing things on the court, and he grabbed the microphone and told the Philly fans to chill. That's totally reasonable, right? We all can get behind that. This is just simply booing. Weird. It was weird.
Yeah, that's a completely different thing, right? Throwing stuff on the court, you're endangering people.
Right.
It's a whole different ball of wax. So, yeah, I mean, and you know what's funny, though? The NBA is about entertainment, and guess what? Every show is talking about that.
Yeah, it's entertaining. It's entertaining.
And at the end of the day, it's a good thing.
Let me throw this at you since we're in the Western Conference. Bigger concern right now, is it the Warriors or the Clippers? That's a tough question.
That's a very tough question. The Clippers have actually won a couple games after that horrendous start to the James Harden era. They're starting to look a little better, a little more comfortable in their roles. Paul George looks like he's kind of returned to form. They beat the Mavericks pretty handily the other day, and the Mavericks are a good team. I would say probably the Warriors. Draymond is still on that, you know, he's starting to slip, and he's also being a distraction. Klay Thompson still is supremely up and down, more down than up. Steph Curry had to play like Hercules to beat even bad teams for the most part. None of the young guys are really coming along the way they thought they would. So I guess my thing with that is that that's supposed to come to an end here soon, right? These guys, hey, they've been together for almost a decade, and that's gonna end one way or another. Steph's gonna be there, but we're gonna see a different iteration of the Warriors next year. The Clippers, it's kind of like do or die, all or now, nothing now. So if you ask me who is the bigger concern right this second, I say the Clippers are probably a bigger concern.
I would agree with that based off of the level of expectations. I there are staunch Warrior fans, and I don't believe those staunch Warrior fans believe this was a championship roster going into the season. I think it was intriguing with the addition of Chris Paul. If you're a Clipper fan, it's all or nothing. Right, I think there's some storylines that can kind of maybe ease the pain of starting off, you know, being a sub-500 team if you're the Golden State Warriors. That doesn't exist with the Clippers. It's just piggybacking off of what you said. I agree with you.
Yeah, man, because, like, look, Steph Curry's still playing at a top three in the league type level at for the most part. There's still flashes of a guy like maybe not Kuminga as much as he just seems like he's just not a very like completely like just locked in player. But Moody's shown you signs. That kid Pods they have is fun. Kevon Looney's still a good story. There's still like you squint, you see a framework of something positive there. Even though I know the staunchest Warrior fans can't be very happy with you know the record and how they're playing at home. But yeah. The Clippers, man. Russell Westbrook was a great story, and now he's just relegated to the bench. Kawhi looks like a shell of his former self. It must be pretty dark days in Clipperland.
We do have to mention the Utah Jazz coming up tonight, 6:50. We'll get you out to live pregame coverage. The Jazz take on the Pelicans. I thought it was a good win for Utah last time we saw the squad. They beat New Orleans 105-100. You and I had actually talked about Colin Sexton last week when we had you on the show, and then I thought that Sexton actually played some pretty good basketball all in all for the Jazz. Come off the bench, I think he went 5 of 10, 13, 5 of 12, something like that. Poured in 16 points. Kind of a ragtag group, easy to root for. Utah outscores New Orleans by 14 in the fourth quarter. They get the win. Again, when you look at this team, it's house money. We've said that all season long, but now you're starting to see some pieces come together that may actually help a contending team, and I think that's probably what you have to look forward to if you're the Utah Jazz, right? The continuing construction of this roster and what you have of value for someone right now rather than you moving forward.
Honestly, man, that's like if we're talking about maybe like a spectrum for fan bases, I think the Jazz should be pretty high. They play pretty entertaining basketball. There's almost no real question about their effort, even if they're not winning games. But they got a young star. They got like a bazillion draft picks. We know that they're on the ground floor of a complete tear down and rebuild, and they have a GM who's can make things happen with all those picks. So in the micro, sure, they know you want to go game to game, watch them win or lose. But I'm almost envious as a Celtics fan of Jazz fans because there's no real pressure. No, every game is just about a litmus test about different players. You want to see what you got, trade bait, value for the trades, and like it's all fun and games for Jazz fans.
Before I let you go, you said you still don't understand the play-in tournament. I don't get a lot when it comes to the play-in tournament itself. Last week we had you on and we talked about the idea that it's somewhat entertaining from the sense the guys are playing hard. They're playing in these group games. Now we've seen some of these groups decided. Any thoughts more as to maybe enjoying the play-in tournament, or is it still just you saying, what are we doing here?
Well, I enjoy the fact that the players actually seem to go a little harder. They seem to be, like, into it. $500,000 a player is not a lot for the superstars, but, you know, $500,000 for the end-of-bench guys is a big deal, and the players have talked about it. We want that $500K. I do like the fact that the players seem to be kind of into it. They understand. There's a point of pride. Like, do you want to be the inaugural into the tournament winner. Why not? Like, I heard talk of LeBron wanted that on his resume. The Sixers seem like they're kind of disappointed that they are out of whatever they're out of. So, I was actually a little bummed that the Celtics lost on Friday because it was a tournament game. And, I don't like that. It adds a little extra pain to it. So, even if I don't understand exactly how the groupings grow and all that, the fact that the games have a little more juice, it makes it worth it to me.
Yeah, so for those who are wondering, it's pretty easy. These are the teams that are in. The Pacers and Lakers have clinched. The other six quarterfinal spots will go to either Cleveland, Philly, Atlanta, Milwaukee, New York, Miami, Charlotte, Orlando, Boston, Brooklyn, Phoenix, New Orleans, Houston, Sacramento, Minnesota, Golden State. That's how wide it still is for those who want to get in. There's a number of teams who are already out, including the Utah Jazz. If I didn't run through that rap a second ago, you didn't hear your team, they're out. And we'll have all this figured out tomorrow, and then we can go into the knockout round, which I don't fully understand the knockout round just yet, but hey, that's what we're going into next week.
Yeah, I'm a tournament agnostic. It doesn't bother me. It's not interrupting the regular games. From what I understand, only the final two teams will have an extra game.
Yep.
And I guess we don't know what to do with the stats yet, so it's hey, man, I feel like it does have people talking about it. People I know who are non-NBA fans are asking me about the tournament, haven't been watched, and they say, I watched the game of it. My one concern is that players are saying that the floors are really slippery. Jaylen Brown almost pulled his groin the other day, slipping on the floor. So that's my thing. If they're going to do this kind of thing, they got to make sure that the floors are safe for the players.
Yeah, the floors are hideous. Just get rid of them. Go back to the normal floors. Put a sticker. You know what? No, we don't need stickers. This is the NBA. This isn't junior college basketball. Remember back in the day when the finals floor, we had the Larry O'Brien trophy at midcourt. Remember that?
Yes.
That was painted on. It wasn't a sticker, right? Like, we can do this right, and the floor doesn't have to look like something out of that movie, The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh with Dr. J, that came out like 40 years ago. You can do this right. You are the NBA. You have the money to do it right.
Agreed. We should let the floor the same. Put a decal, or even put a like a 3D thing on the TV screen in the corners to show what it is. Put a big, like you said, paint the middle of the floor like the new trophy or whatever. There's no reason for them to redo the whole floor in such weird ways. I agree.
James, it's always a pleasure to get you on. Of course, we got to throw out that Twitter handle because it's so catchy, and that's where we can find you.
At Snotty Drippin', and it's out of respect for the great Scottie Pippen. So Snotty Drippin', which is very juvenile, but it's, like you said, it's a catchy name. Where I'm not doing content right now, as far as I used to podcast, I used to write, but now it's just get to talk to my boy every week about basketball on the radio.
Love it. Love it. Can't wait to do it again next week. James, appreciate the time.
You're the man, brother.
We're out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. I want to thank Coach John Famalo and James Holis for taking out the time to join us. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Until then, be safe. We are out.